Hello, Cospodders, and welcome to episode 19 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you are brand new to our podcast and you don't know who we are, hi, I'm Amber. I started this thing. You should introduce yourself, co-host.
It just seems so random. I'm Valerie. Hi. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired.
Remember that we're winging this. This is what happens when you get me off my leash.
There's a little outline. It's not like we're totally winging it. We have some vague idea of what we're doing.
Says you.
Says me. The one who edits the damn thing.
There's somebody for that.
You can do it next time, Missy.
I don't really want to do it. I don't know what I'm doing enough to be able to do it quickly.
Yeah, I do it ridiculously fast, don't I?
Yes. Yes, you do. But at any rate, we should probably get on with some content here.
Okay.
Firstly, have you been... You've been doing all sorts of things cosplay recently. I have not. So what have you been doing cosplay related?
I've been buying a lot of fabric.
And
I was waiting for you to do that. Well, here's my plan for the next 9 months. I have 8 costumes I have to get done, and the plan is to get a costume a month. Don't shake your head at me. I know this is horrible and pathetic. I got asked to join a lot of groups, and I couldn't say no, and now this is the consequence.
Well, so, as long as you accept the consequences, then it's all
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm fully aware of my own actions, and then I'm bringing the torture upon myself, but they will all get done, and they will all be fabulous. So,
you enjoy that while I'm sitting there doing homework over the weekend. See, this is why I can't do anything cosplay, because I have had my lunch handed to me in the form of a lot of homework.
But you're making it out to be like, I don't have that too.
Your classes aren't accelerated.
True. But I'm still
working
on my PhD.
That's why I have so much homework.
I got a giant-ass thesis I have to get done. Eventually.
Been there, done that.
Yeah,
I had to write a thesis in high school.
Okay, a 500-plus page one?
A 20-plus page one.
Yeah, 20. 500. Where I have to get published.
I don't even remember how long my thesis was. I try and forget my thesis from high school because it wasn't very good.
And this is going to put doctor in front of my name. This is going to be what makes me more awesome and epic. I will be a doctor that cannot prescribe medications.
Different kind of doctor.
Exactly. The doctor that didn't know any better.
But at any rate, so yes, we've both been busy with various things, whether they're cosplay related or not. Just some are more cosplay related than others. I'm actually going to be putting up some of my cosplay boxes now that I've actually finished doing what I need to on them.
Yeah, I think for both of us, we're still kind of trying to wind down from A-Fest because we've just been nothing but running around. And I know even for me this weekend, which will be a week before we release this episode, I have an entire cosplay weekend just meeting with group members and getting stuff done.
Yeah, I'm going to end up updating the website tomorrow and then just mass upload of the A-Fest panels that
yeah.
I filmed.
At least what I was able to film. Ooh, we got to tell them about our shinies.
Our shinies?
Our shiny.
Oh.
The shiny.
I was gonna leave that for the end of the show.
But I want to see the shiny.
Oh, you're going to make me go get the shiny.
Yes, you're going to have to go get the shiny. It's worth it, I promise. It makes us more awesome and uber and legit. And she's struggling to get it.
Must not break.
You made me go get it.
Yep. But it's awesome. We have Shiny. And there's also a microphone windscreen, but it's not on it, apparently.
Well, you didn't say I had to put all the parts on it. You just said,
no, it's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's okay. I'm just saying that it's missing parts, obviously, but we do have them all.
Yes. This is our new recording rig, for those who don't know. Amber invested in the podcast because I love you all. And this is going to be our new convention recording rig.
It's shiny.
And it has a shotgun mic that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't bother to put all the external peripherals on this. But this is a Canon XL1S. I think they call these prosumer because they're kind of somewhere in between professional and consumer. So it's a prosumer.
Exactly.
That we will be using probably for the first time when we go to Alcon next March. So, yeah, I have 8 months to learn how to use this. And to get all the other component parts, like a tripod that will actually support it without it falling over.
Yeah, that would
be
helpful, huh?
Media to record on and a portable power source for it, because somehow I don't think they're going to be nice enough to get us dedicated sockets at the convention.
Because it never is the case.
No, of course not. And of course, you know, we're fighting with all the other media for the
exactly.
same sockets, plus their staff media for the sockets.
But we can finally show that to Akon and say, look, we're legit.
Well, yeah, but I'm still going to get stuck right behind the Akon TV guy who's always going to get right smack dab in the center of my shot again.
Yeah, that was crappy.
I can't help that.
But still, yay, shiny.
Yeah, and it was a really good deal, I have to say. It was a really good deal.
I'm glad I was able to go with you and at least check out the lenses and make sure that everything was still cool.
Yep. And also a big thank you. I won't mention his name because I don't have permission, but to the gentleman who sold this to us, he was extremely helpful. He was very
mm-hmm.
kind about it, went out of his way to accommodate us when we had, you know, a couple of issues pop up last minute. But thank you. You know who you are. So we were really grateful for this.
And he probably isn't watching this.
That's okay. I still want to say it. It deserves recognition. So
I'll roll with it, yeah.
Yes, we have a new shiny. So, yeah. As if I didn't have enough stuff to study. Studying photography, studying videography, I'm studying networking. Now I'm
going
to be studying a different sort
of
accounting. Supposed to be studying CSS. I'm supposed to be studying electronics and prop making and basic mechanics. Like,
this is why you develop insomnia.
I'm going to have to get, like, a second brain and attached peripheral so that I can
Ooh,
have extra storage space.
Cloning. We got to start cloning. Or, wait, didn't you have a TARDIS? What the crap did you do with it? Did you throw it out or something?
No, it had gotten so much use that it broke down and I had to send it in for repair.
Well, how long is that going to take?
I don't know. We overloaded it pretty badly for A-Fest and Akon. We did a lot of time stretching for our conventions.
Oh my goodness. You're such silly, silly ladies.
Yeah, the audience can't even see half of the gestures and faces I'm making because it only pops up on screen when I'm actually talking.
Exactly.
Which I find totally amusing. Yeah.
Well, actually, they can technically see it because the bottom bar
That's
on YouTube
true.
Will
That's
still
true.
Come up there, but when I go back and edit it, it won't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Unless I want it to exist.
I mean, it's not like I'm not doing anything lewd, so it's not really worth
seeing. It's just funny.
Yeah. The After Dark may have lewd gestures.
We gotta work that in at one point or another.
I guess maybe we can do it at some point, since we kind of owe the fans of A-Fest for not being able to record. Maybe we should give them an After Dark. in repayment.
Loads of swearing.
Speaking of payment, I think we owe a winner something.
We do, as soon as they respond back to me. Do you happen to remember their name? Because I totally don't have it up, because I suck.
I believe her name is Kristen Schatz.
Wow, you have an awesome memory.
Yes, I do. It's also kind of short term. It was 24 hours ago.
Two things you should never give me. Don't give me a date, and don't give me a name, because I'm not going to remember them.
You can give me the date. I probably won't remember the name unless it was in the last 24 hours. And I've seen it. If I haven't seen it, I won't remember it.
So anyway, Kristen, if you're watching this now, contact me. Please respond, because you have 1 week to claim your prize. If you don't pick it up, I got to give it to somebody else.
Yep, then we have to redraw again. And you'll get another video of us happy people drawing paper slips out of a Rock Band hat. For those who don't know what this is for, because we've been talking gibberish for the last 2 minutes, well, for the last, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We actually ran a contest on Facebook with people being able to enter as long as they shared our contest post. And I believe they had to like us as well. And the first 100 people that complied with this were entered into a random drawing. So as long as you were eligible, we put your name in the hat. And then we drew one winner for a $10 gift card or gift code to Epic Cosplay, which is a wig store. A very, very good wig store, might I add. No, we're not being paid to say that it's a great store. We have been customers for probably longer than Cospod's been around. So, yeah, they are a very, very good store. So, congrats to Kristen.
And if you're watching, please respond to me.
And for those of you who didn't know about the contest or didn't get a chance to participate, do keep your eye out on all of our social media because we are going to be doing this again shortly. So do keep an eye out because
it'll be a different contest. Yeah.
It will be a different contest. But Epic Cosplay has been kind enough to sponsor our contest, so we will have another gift card to give away. So yay! And additionally, we may have other prizes to give away soon. ...
If anybody wants some spandex, I got so much of it, I just want to, I'm willing to throw it out. Just take it. I don't care.
I'm trying to build suspense.
There is no suspense.
Hey, we're giving away free stuff. Like us.
If they take 5 seconds to look at any of my social media, they would realize I have so much of it that I'm just like, really, I just want to get rid of it.
I know. Oh,
I could turn around and pull the bag out behind me.
Yeah, I may be moving between now and the end of the year, so I may have all sorts of stuff to get rid of.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways, why don't we move on? Do you want to do segments next?
Yeah,
or would you like to do the
segment.
Other thing?
Let's do okay. Segments. Rolling through.
Have a triple of a book review for you tonight. You get three for the price of one. Three, sir, three. These are a series of books by René Baer, and I'm sure that I'm mispronouncing that, and I am very, very sorry for mispronouncing that. But, as you can see, the name of the author is here. This one right here. I'm doing three books. These aren't actually technically a series in and of themselves, but they tend to act in a series where you can use them all together to do much of the same thing, which is pattern making. Some of this is actually called dressmaking. But I would use these books in this particular order. The first one is called Make Your Own Patterns.
The second one is called Sewing Classic Clothes That Fit. And the final one is called The Dressmaker's Handbook. Unfortunately, the end of the title is covered by my half-price book sticker, because that's where I got it. Each one of these books is dedicated to a different part of actually making a costume, and I have been working with these, as of recently, a lot, because I have been trying to make my own patterns so that my costumes fit me better, since commercial patterns don't fit me very well. So the very first one that I picked up, I actually picked up off of Amazon, and that was Make Your Own Patterns. And the book does exactly that. It shows you, bit by bit, there we go, exactly how to make your own patterns. It shows you what measurements here at the top that you need to make this particular one. It shows you step by step what you need to do. And then at the very bottom, as you can see, there are diagrams showing you what they should look like, and all the diagrams are labeled. Now, there is a lot of math involved in using all of these books. There's a lot of geometry, a little bit of trigonometry, but it's not even college level. This is something that a middle schooler could probably do. The instructions are, for the most part, very well written. There's a couple of places that I've found in the book where they'll show you visually what a step is supposed to look like as the results, but it doesn't actually show you, like, how it's supposed to get there. They don't show you exactly how to get there. So yeah, just make sure that when you're looking at the diagrams, you read the instructions really carefully, since some of the visual diagrams didn't make too terribly much sense to me, and I tend to be a visual learner. So this book definitely appeals to visual learners. As you can see, it goes through a lot of different types of patterns. It goes through shirts, it goes through various collars for the shirts, it goes through sleeves, and all the different types of combinations of those things, how to make blouses and tops, jackets, skirts, pants, well, they call them trousers. And in the back, they include full-scale patterns that you can enlarge and have printed at an office place like Kinko's or Office Max, Office Depot, Staples, that sort of thing. Now, these are based on average measurements. These are based on what you might find commercial patterns based off of. They're not necessarily based on your measurements. So do keep that in mind if you choose to use their patterns that are already in here. They do have a basic bodice, sleeve, skirt, trousers, buffs front and back, cuffs, all sorts of good things that are in the back of the first book, which is Make Your Own Patterns. I found this one to be the most helpful of them. One of the downsides of this book, there are actually two big downsides. The first one is that it seems to be aimed towards women. I did not really see anything for men or written for men in this book. Now, I'm sure that because it's all based on math, that you could probably alter things and actually make them fit men based simply on the measurements in this book and do everything exactly the way they tell you to. But nothing seems specifically aimed towards men, so it seems like this is mostly for dressmaking instead of tailoring. The other big downside to this, actually, is that it doesn't tell you how to alter the patterns. So most of this is based on if you are some sort of really awesomely average-sized person. And for the longest time, I thought that was me. I thought I was an average size because according to the back of commercial envelopes, I precisely matched one of the sizes measurements for, you know, bust, for waist, and hips. I matched all of them. And then I actually looked at Sewing Classic Clothes That Fit and realized that no, I am not in fact average. This is the book that tells you how to take basic patterns and move them so that they actually fit. Now, of course, like the other, it will show you all the different measurements that you need. You get to draw a really elaborate stick figure of yourself and get your proportions. It even gives you a description of various body shapes. So this can actually be used for men as well. Various contours of the body, thighs, hips, shoulders. There's a nice table here showing what sorts of fits flatter various different types of figures and various profiles. And of course, they have you take a very long series of measurements. Both of these books actually involve something, I want to say 28 measurements. So there's quite a few measurements that you do have to take to actually use these patterns. So they go through step by step, as you can see here. And they show you how to shorten and lengthen patterns. And then later on, they show you how to slice them up and move them around for various different profile types. So you can use the first book, Make Your Own Patterns, to actually make the pattern. And then you can use this book to alter those patterns that you've already made for any various different profile types or body changes that you might have, which is nice. As I have learned about myself that I have some of the profiles that are listed in this book. And so I am working right now, actually, not right now, but I have been working recently on how to change the patterns that I built using the Make Your Own Patterns book so that they actually fit me correctly. Tailoring is an art in and of itself, I have to say, and it's very different having a shirt or a piece of clothing that fits you more or less versus a piece of clothing that fits you like a glove. Not necessarily tightly, but that it's tailored specifically for your body type. There's a really big difference in that. And that's what I'm finding using the second book, is that it's definitely an art. And there's also, again, a lot of math involved, trying to shift things around so that geometrically they fit the curves around your body. But I think it will be overall a really good experience. And then the third book, and this one's actually a hardback, as opposed to the other ones, which are soft cover. But this is the Dressmaker's Handbook, and this is what happens after you've already made your patterns. And this is made both for beginners and advanced, although I found it much more convenient if you have some experience sewing, in that you will understand a lot of the terminology and a lot of the instructions better. It starts off like most sewing books with the equipment that you need. A lot of these will be very familiar to basic seamstressing. Again, you see the very familiar diagrams of taking all the various different measurements. This one actually has you take more measurements than the other two books. There are some measurements in this book, such as the thigh, the calf, and the ankle, that don't appear in the other books. So this one actually has something like 32 or 34 different measurements. It starts out by going into pattern selections, how to select your patterns. It does do some basic pattern adjustment, as you can see here. It almost looks like these are copy-pasted out of the other book, to be honest. It does have a couple of different profiles, but it's nowhere near as extensive as the Sewing Classic Clothes That Fit. It does give you a couple of different suggestions for color and texture when choosing the fabrics. As opposed to the actual fabrics itself, a lot of sewing books will have you choose fabrics based on the actual qualities of the fabric itself, as opposed to the qualities of the finished piece of clothing that you want to be wearing. So it's actually kind of refreshing. Sorry, I cannot speak English today. It goes into basic, how to cut fabric, how to do stitches. A lot of these you can find in any basic sewing book. In fact, there are some sewing books, to be honest, which teach it a little bit better than this book does, as far as basic sewing does. It goes into darts, tucks, pleats. It has very, very nice illustrations and colored pictures here for you to reference as you are sewing. There are some things in here that are covered that other books don't, which is actually why I find this a good reference. So while you may see buttonholes, which are covered in almost every major sewing book, something like corded spaghetti tubing is not. I have to say that that is a really awesome looking bodice. Zippers are, of course, covered in most basic sewing books. Lapped, centered, fly front, invisible zippers, most of those are covered. One thing that this book covers that I actually am very thankful for that not all of them do is finishing. Finishing is basically the difference between a basic costume and an advanced or an intermediate costume. This shows how you face various things like collars, like bodices, both facing and interfacing. They also cover the different types of collars in here. They cover waistbands, which are an art in and of themselves to get them to hang correctly. They show you how to do various types of pockets. They also show you how to line garments that are already completed, where you're actually adding the lining after it's been sewn. So all in all, this is a good reference. It does cover a lot of standard ground that a lot of other sewing books also do and may actually do slightly better than this book, but this is a solid book in that it has a few advanced and intermediate techniques that other basic books don't cover. So combine the two of them together and by your book powers combined, you would have a complete technique reference. And that's why I find this mostly helpful, is for those extra techniques that weren't covered in a basic sewing book, like the Complete Book of Sewing Shortcuts that I reviewed earlier. So taken as a set, I would say that this is something that every serious costumer should at least look at, if not own. Definitely making your own patterns, I would say own it. Sewing classic clothes that fit, I would say own it. These two are definitely really helpful for cosplayers who are looking to start making custom fit costumes for themselves and on commission for other people. So, definitely own. This one, I would say, for the Dressmaker's Handbook, you don't necessarily have to own this one because you won't be a worse-off seamstress if you don't. It is good to read it. It is handy to have on hand as a reference in case you find it, like I did at Half Price Books, where it's only $9.99, especially if it's on sale for an additional 20% off. But this is good if you were to borrow it, say, from the library. So this one is a not necessarily own, but it's nice to have. These two definitely own. And that is the Dressmaking and Pattern Making series of books. Hope you enjoyed.
All right, and we're back.
Yay.
Well, hopefully, as usual, those were somewhat educational segments, as we actually do try to make them mean something.
We have our moments.
Well, we don't do this just to make ourselves look good or to hear ourselves speak.
Oh, it's definitely not to hear myself talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do this so that it's educational, hopefully of some value.
But at any rate, someone out there.
Yes, but at any rate, why don't we move on to cost philosophy for today?
Because you guys seem to enjoy listening to us as we ramble about random cosplay topics. Yay. And she laughs because she knows it's true.
We ramble so well.
So well. Our 30-minute episode idea has magically transformed to like an hour 15. Exponential growth. So our cos philosophy topic is going to be simple versus complex costumes, which in itself is kind of a weird thing. So it's like, what exactly do you mean? Why is this a problem? I bring it up because I think that there's a stigma between simple costumes and complex costumes. How people perceive it, does it affect how a person cosplays, i.e. does somebody think that you're lazy because you're doing an easy or simple costume versus, holy crap, you're doing the awesome big ball gown of doom, therefore you're an awesome cosplayer, even though it may not look right.
Now, simple, I think we're talking in relative terms here, because I don't think there's actually a dictionary definition of what's simple.
Exactly. What's simple and easy to one person may be the most challenging and difficult thing to another person. I think in terms of this discussion, since I think we probably need to define it in some manner or another, as she nods her head in approval, cool. I would say costumes that probably visually look like they require the least amount of work, like a shirt and a pair of pants, or like a sundress. Things that seem, or at least they appear, very, very simple to make. Does that kind of make sense? I think that rolls.
Kinda. I think it actually ends up being a lot harder to define what is simple versus what's complex, especially if you look at it in terms of the techniques used to create them.
Mm-hmm.
You can use beginner sewing techniques to make the most complicated of costumes.
True. But I would say, as a good example, simple would be like a sundress. There's my hand. And then extremely difficult costumes would be ball gown of doom. Vis-a-vis, I don't know, Belle's ball gown from Beauty and the Beast.
So I just... Go ahead.
I said, that's the comparison.
So I guess we could make it to where simple is a minimal amount of seams, a lack of complicated or more advanced sewing techniques like gathering or pleating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually there's a lack of trim of mm-hmm. any kind. I would say either simple sleeves or lack of sleeves.
Right.
Simple necklines.
Mm-hmm.
May or may not even be lined.
Right.
May or may not even have the seam edges finished at all. So it's almost to the level of everyday clothing would be considered simple.
Sure, we'll go with that.
So everyday clothing that you could wear, I mean, even something that you could wear to, say, church or Sunday school could be
right.
considered simple.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think you start hitting complex is when you start getting into formal wear.
Mm-hmm. Definitely formal wear.
Men and women, incidentally. Because this goes for men, too.
Yeah, especially when you get to the point where you're having to tailor, that can get really difficult and complex.
Yeah, so now that we've more or less defined our terms, and of course we can have pictorial examples scattered in and about here, where would you like to start?
I guess I want to start with this idea that simple is perceived as lazy. And like I said, this is something that I've personally experienced, and I've always wanted to talk about it, but never really had an outlet to do so. And hi, show, I can talk about it now. Yay! Personal feeling time. All right. Because I know that a lot of the costumes that I do, at least from a visual standpoint, look very easy. And I know I've made at least two or three different types of sundresses or outfits that are very simple, or even the formal wear that I make in terms of the cut and the style. It's pretty easy to, you know, get it all together. But I think that's where the misconception comes in, is that because it looks easy, it must have taken no time whatsoever for you to put it together. Whereas I argue, because it is so easy to look at, it takes five times longer just to get it right. You're so apt to mess that up, a simple costume, versus something that's really, really complex. Like with a complex costume, you may not have put a hem on something, or you may not have used bias tape like properly, and it may be not quite the right color, but you're not as likely to get called out for it, because people are going to be like, holy crap, you made that awesome Gundam, or you made that awesome ball gown. Whereas if they look at a cosplayer who did the sundress, and if the color is not quite right, or if even the sleeve is like just a little bit off, they're going to come up to you and say, hey, you didn't do that right. I think you get nitpicked way more than a complex costume ever could.
I think the time argument may actually not really be pertinent, because it's all dependent upon the experience of the seamstress. A really experienced cosplayer can whip out even the most complex of costumes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the faster you go doesn't necessarily mean the more simple the costume. I think it's actually more a reflection of the experience of the seamstress. So the faster you go, the more experience you have.
I could see that. But this is also, you're also speaking from the mindset of someone who has been doing this for a while, whereas someone who's not in the community or is just starting out may not think of it in that manner.
True. Although I think usually if you have a simple costume on, you're perceived to be an inexperienced seamstress because mm-hmm. they will assume that the more experienced you are, the more complex of costume you will attempt
mm-hmm.
to try and challenge yourself, because that's what we do as cosplayers. We try and sure. challenge ourselves. But sometimes even the most experienced cosplayers want to take a break every once in a while and kind of kick back and do one of the more simple costumes, especially if we like the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know your Riddell costume didn't look ridiculously complicated.
No, by no means was it.
But it took you forever to do it.
It took me a long time because that, to me, was like, I want it to be picture perfect. It needed to have everything exactly right. And if it wasn't right, I wasn't going to be happy with it. And I think I ended up spending 80 to 90 hours on it, which seems ludicrous when you look at the character, but the technique that I did to it to ensure that everything was perfect, including the way that I lined it, I wanted to make absolutely certain that I got it right.
Mm-hmm. And of course it was a labor of love because you like the character.
Exactly.
So sometimes, yeah, we like to take a break and do a character we really like doing, even though they may not have a massive ball gown for
right.
a costume. Of course, I can't really comment on this because most of my costumes end up being ridiculously complicated.
Yeah, you have armor on so much.
Well, I mean, the magical girls and the sorcerer types usually have ridiculously complicated costumes. And it's not even so much that the costumes themselves are complicated. It's that I tend to think, as an engineer sort of person,
mm-hmm.
in terms of layers or modules that I can take on and off easily, store them easily, and then I also want to make them versatile or adaptable so that I can use them on multiple costumes if at all possible, which mm. kind of all of those things add layers of complexity to a costume that may have just been as simple as a sundress, but I make it more complicated just because I like to be able to be modular with my costumes.
Sure.
Which is something to think about when you think yeah. about simple versus complex, because if you take a simple costume, add belts, add pockets, and, say, finish off your seams neatly and do elastic casings, your costume has suddenly become a lot more complicated, even though it mm-hmm. may not look it.
Exactly.
Because you've added all these layers and modular things on top of it.
I swear, I've had this happen to me, with the exception of one contest. Every single contest that I've entered in, again, with the exception of one, I've been called out for because my costume looked quote-unquote simple. And, of course, it's not by the judges. It's by either other cosplayers who've entered the contest or people in the audience. And, you know, when I finally sit down and say, hey, this is what I did to it, this is why it may look simple, but I can guarantee you it took this much time to do this, this, and this, then they come to understand. But, yeah, it gets thrown back at me more times than I'd like for it.
Plus, on a side note, when you go into competition, they don't group you in your category based on how complicated your costume looks.
Exactly.
They do it based on your experience as a cosplayer, regardless of what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So you may find a lot of people in the master's category with deceptively simple costumes. Like, what was her name? Mama Hitalia.
Yes.
That costume didn't look terribly complicated, it just looked layered. Until you got up close and then talked to her about how she made it.
It's historically accurate.
Yeah,
that's
so,
why I love it.
You know, they may have people in these higher categories with very simple looking costumes until you actually talk to the cosplayer and then you figure out, yeah, they're in master's level for a reason.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened to me last year at Hayfest. Haha, go fig. Where I had Lady Eboshi from Princess Mononoke. That one, to me, was not just visual accuracy, but historical accuracy, too. So I went through, and I spent weeks upon weeks just researching and getting the techniques and making sure I did everything within historical accuracy, too. And I know that's what really boosted me up to win the Master's Award last year.
And you can do that on simple costumes, too. You can have
Absolutely.
A historically accurate, simple... You can have a simple kimono that's very mm-hmm. historically accurate, and you can wear it historically accurately.
Absolutely.
That doesn't make it any less of a costume. In fact, it makes it a little bit more of a costume because you have shown a passion for making it more than just simple clothing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I think, in a way, that's kind of what sets the costumes apart and the costumers apart, is how much, not only work do you put into it, because, you know, a technical work of art is a technical work of art.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really tell when somebody loves their costume.
Oh, sure.
And that will go for both simple and complicated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I don't think that, you know, just looking at a simple costume, don't assume that the cosplayer is a novice.
Mm-hmm.
And don't assume that they don't love that costume to bits. So that's my two cents.
Something I want to point out, too, is that I've seen schoolgirl outfits actually win awards at contests before. So to do one of those perfectly is a giant pain in the ass. Especially if it's your first time doing a schoolgirl outfit, that stuff's not easy. Ooh, that was a lovely face.
I just had a sudden chill all of a random moment.
Or my other favorite is Sailor Scout outfits. If you make your own Sailor Scout outfit, yeah, because that's what I did. I wanted to learn how to do it. I taught myself how to do it.
Those look simple.
They look simple. They are ridiculously hard. The leotard itself made me want to hurt myself. Like, constantly like, okay, that's just, no, yeah.
There's a reason why so many people have requested tutorials on how to make those the easy way.
The easy way.
And why so many costume shops, the cheaper costume shops, sell them. Because people don't, when people finally see what it takes to make one of those, they suddenly don't want to make it anymore. For them, it's easier just to buy one, even though it looks cheap.
And that's exactly why I have a leotard pattern on my DA. Because that's the one that I ended up making for myself, and I know so many people who want patterns like that. There's just no place to really find it other than making your own, and
A lot of times that also differentiates the simple costumes from the more complicated ones.
Mm-hmm.
The simple ones you can usually make from commercial patterns, even if they're altered. The more complicated ones, it's a lot harder to find commercial patterns for them in the first place.
Stuff together.
You end up having to piece, or you end up having to block.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's also the sign of an experienced cosplayer is blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can use a pattern out of an envelope.
Yeah.
That's what they're made for. But not everybody can alter them or make their own.
You got to be super fancy.
Well, patient was the word I had in mind. But that works too.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just many, many months and years of stewing has finally boiled over. But it just annoys me that it's not just me, but picking on other cosplayers who I know put so much love and energy into their work, only to get it ripped apart because it's a quote-unquote simple costume. I mean, we're all cosplayers in the end.
You're not the only one, because I've actually seen comments on a particular convention's forum that I will not name, that the judges did not pay close enough attention to the little things, or what we might call the little things, like, did you finish your seams?
Yeah, exactly.
How did you finish your seams? Did you make your own bias tape? Did you use the bias tape correct? Did you apply it correctly? Because there is a way to apply bias tape.
Oh, yes.
You know, did you finish off cuffs correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Did you set your sleeves with even gathers? You know, did you pleat evenly? They're just little things that are basically marks of a perfectionist, I guess you might say.
Sewing 101 necessary.
That's kind of what differentiates costumes a lot of time, when you have two fairly equivalent, I should not make that gesture, you couldn't see that on camera, two fairly equivalent costumes. And the one thing that's going to set one apart from the other is the level of perfection and dedication on that costume.
Exactly.
So if you look on the inside of a complicated costume and they've done a whole bunch of shortcuts, they've used heat and bond instead of actually stitching seams down, none of their seams are finished, gathers are uneven,
mm-hmm.
They use three different kinds of pleats, They used commercially purchased bias tape that was slightly the wrong color, and they didn't know how to dye it to match, or they didn't know how to make their own custom tape out of the same fabric.
Right.
And then you look on the inside of a simple costume where all the edges are serged, which in and of itself takes time and money because sergers are not cheap.
They you want hand sewed it.
You know, they hand dye their own tape. They use a pleating tool to make sure all the pleats are even.
I don't just have because a tool.
I use a fork.
That's what I do.
It's cheap and it works just as well as the perfect pleater. Plus, they're even because forks are the same distance every time.
Exactly.
But I think that's really how you can tell the value of a costume is it's not just what's on the outside. It's actually more what's on the inside.
Oh, it's like a human internalization moment. It's not about the looks. It's on the inside. Oh, heart, love, cute.
That wasn't meant to be a sappy moment.
No, it wasn't, but it's true.
It really is true because the perfectionism really doesn't show up on the outside because you can mask just about any mistake and not have it show on the outside. That's not hard.
No, it really isn't. And that's one of the things I do as a judge is I like to go up there and I ask, can I look at your seams? I want to pull up the parts and see what you did on the inside.
And you can take pictures in your portfolio too.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do it constantly, especially when I know I have a tight dress on and I can't really, like, I can't show you guys anything. But here's the portfolio, and I can show you step by step. Yeah, exactly. Despite how many undergarments I am wearing, I am not lifting up the dress.
Yeah. I refuse to flip my hem like that for anybody, let alone a judge. If they want to see my hems, I will gingerly roll the edge so they can see it, and that's it.
I was able to do it on one costume so far. The rest of them have been sucked into my body, so I can't really do it.
Oh, when I was in judging with my Lena costume, I actually flipped the entire back of my shirt up.
There you go.
That wasn't for the seams, though. That was so they could see the hardware I had used on the belts, because I actually used belt hardware on the back of it.
Oh, okay.
I made real belts, and they had real attachments that were heavy duty. So nice. These things had work put into them. And it was for that I flipped the back of my shirt up. Not for the seams, although you could nicely see my seams.
Yeah.
Nice and neatly stitched and bag lined and everything.
Yeah, we definitely had to put the portfolio in front of them and flip through it because none of us could show anything. Except for our Glenn with his armor. But the rest of us, we were just like, we're kind of stuck in our little costumes. We took a ton of pictures. Here you go.
See, actually, simple versus complex costumes, armor is one of those things that, one, instantly makes a simple costume look more complicated.
That it does.
Even though the armor itself doesn't have to be complicated. It can be the simplest of armors, but it just automatically makes a costume look like 10% cooler. I'm sorry, 20% cooler.
20% cooler. Definitely 20%
cooler.
And you know what I also like about it, especially now that I've been in a group, but looking back at photos of other groups too, I think a simple costume can help balance out the complicated ones as well. Because then you have too much complicated costumes in one photo. There's so much to look at. Your eyes can't really focus. But you have the other costumes kind of mingle in. It actually balances everyone out really equally.
Yeah, I actually have trouble looking sometimes at photos of Dynasty Warrior groups.
Yeah, I have trouble
all
with
the
that.
All the costumes are ridiculously detailed.
Yeah.
But they're works of art, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They're technical feats, but at the same time on something like that it would be really easy to cheat and take shortcuts.
I get that too with Monster Hunter too. If I can do like one or two Monster Hunters, but when there's like four or five of them, my eyes just start going crazy, and it's like, okay, I need to see the solo shots, and then I can appreciate it a lot better.
Although I will say on armor, it's really easy to cheat too, especially on the inside.
Easy to cheat on a lot of stuff.
True, and you can't always count on the fact, I mean, whether you're in competition or not, I mean, this may happen in a photo shoot, where somebody will see the inside of your costume. They may see the underside of your armor that just happened to be at an odd angle in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, it's always good to finish the inside of your costume as well as you did the outside, whether it's simple or complicated.
Exactly.
Just in case. Just in case.
And you also have to think about from a structural standpoint. I mean, if you take the shortcuts, eventually the shortcuts are going to fail.
True.
You might have pieces of your costume coming off at inappropriate times, whereas if you know you finished everything properly, the chances of that happening drastically decrease to, you know, short of someone spilling food or drinks on you.
True. I did want to mention really quickly, you said something about tailoring earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Tailoring or fitting a costume will automatically make a simple costume look more complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's harder to tailor.
Way harder.
To you. So, I mean, if you have an unfitted complicated costume, if you have an unfitted ball gown, it actually detracts from the work because it looks ill-fitted on you. It doesn't look like you put in the work to actually make it fit your measurements.
100% agree with you. 150% agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so there is something to be said about actually taking the time to fit your costume, regardless of how simple or complex it is. But it automatically just kind of adds a level of wow to your costume if you've actually taken the time to tailor it.
Exactly.
So, of course, if you want to take a simple costume too complex, you can always do things like add trim. Obviously, finish your seams.
Mm-hmm.
Tailor it.
Line.
If you know how. Line it.
Within reason.
Yes, I was going to say, depending on the climate you're going to be taking that costume to, because if you're going to be sitting there wearing it during a Texas photo shoot in July, you may not want to line that costume. You may want to purchase Under Armour that you can wear underneath it.
I don't take weather into account. You're looking at me funny. I don't
understand why you laughed.
Because I don't take weather into account. You saw what I wore at Akon. I went outside in Texas heat, and that thing was fully lined.
Yeah, see, the reason I take weather into account is that I really don't want to become a very sweat-drenched anime character.
Because I was surprised I didn't sweat. I was fairly surprised by that.
You were lucky, because I know for sure that I was just dripping sweat in my Lena costume because of all the layers. And I was lucky that I was wearing Under Armour that kind of wicked it away, because otherwise you would have seen puddles literally on the outside of my costume.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how well you line a costume, they will absorb moisture. That's just that's just the short and tall of it, is that fabric absorbs moisture unless you're using a very specific waterproof type of fabric, which you usually don't do in costumes anyway.
Unless you're me and you use spandex.
So, I mean, even a fully lined, complicated costume will suddenly look a lot worse if you are drenched in liquid, whether it's water or sweat or someone spilled a Coke on you or whatever.
Or something,
it just
looks
worse. So, yeah, I take weather into account because I don't want to turn into a puddle.
I'm bad. I should take it into account. I don't. I just really wanted to wear that dress so badly at Akon. I didn't care what happened.
It's the engineer part of me. I always have to take all these factors into account.
I see, but which is funny because the rest of the time I've been thinking very methodically about when I'm wearing things so I don't have to worry about sweat and such. Like my Sith costume, which is soon to be Sith costumes, I mean, they all involve face paint and having to cover my head and everything. And I won't wear those in the summer because I know I'm going to sweat. And I'm going to look like a big runny Sith after a couple hours. And I don't really want that. So those are winter-only costumes. So I take it into effect. It's just that one time I didn't, really.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad I didn't. I like my costume. I like my pretty dress.
All right. I think we've beaten our topic to
death. So yeah, don't mock the simple cosplays because they are really, really awesome. Stop being jerks.
And at the same time, don't automatically laud a complex costume because there may be a lot of cheating and shortcuts you don't see.
That you don't really see.
Yep. Although the mark of a good cosplayer is to be able to hide them.
Is knowing very well how to hide them.
Well, at any rate, so yeah, we have We've put a lot of information into this episode. And
no
we will, of course,
kidding.
We will have more for you next episode in episode 20. I think we'll have to do something special for episode 21, maybe in After Dark.
Yes. We'll be legal drinking age. We can already vote.
So at this point, we are going to be continuing to work on cosplay. We're going to be playing with our new Shiny, of course. Which
Shiny!
I will be trying not to keel over dead from homework. And of course, you know, we'll always be working on more tutorials and interviews and such. So if you guys have comments, questions, concerns, feedback for us, at any time, we do actually answer our emails personally. We do read every single one of them personally. So
we do care.
We care
a lot.
So feel free to give your honest opinion. I mean, if you want to say we suck, that's fine. We prefer that you say why we suck so that we can fix it. But, you know, you are always welcome to voice your opinion with us. Of course, you can email us, tweet us, message us on Facebook
us or something.
Message
we'll
us
answer.
On DeviantArt, comment on our YouTube.
We have so much stuff.
We are everywhere. But otherwise, we are going to be recovering from A-Fest and laying low until our next convention. So, yay!
Yay! Really quickly, before we sign off, I want to give another shout-out to Pharaoh for being awesome and sending us music to use in between our segments. So thank you once again, Pharaoh. I keep promoting you on YouTube, so hopefully that's been helping you out.
Yep, so we will see you guys next time.
Bye.